Subscribe to the Tim and Sid podcast with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Today on Tim and Sid, the Canucks return to the win column.
Tavares returns to Uniondale.
And the Raptors return to action tonight. Well, at least a couple of them. Not all of them. A little banged up. I don't know if you
can. Can you make it to Portland in time tonight, Timmy? They might need a shooter. I've seen you from outside.
Charter a plane. More of a slasher, but whatever.
Well, you know, you're a utility guy.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous Swag. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment. Yeah. It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
There are a lot of people watching and listening who have seen me play basketball.
This is true.
I am not a shooter in any way, shape, or form.
The scouting report on you, though, is I've heard different things.
I was a point guard who couldn't shoot.
Really?
Yeah.
So you
actually,
were aggressive?
I was a point guard at a high school that had a lot of good point guards. In fact, two all-Canadian point guards. So they turned me into a two-guard that couldn't shoot.
See,
and that's when I stopped playing basketball and joined the hockey team.
So you said,
honestly,
you said I went to a school that had good point guards. You didn't have to throw in two all-Canadian point guards. I believed you.
I wanted to shout out Eddie McGarian and Sherwin Benn.
There you go. Shout them out, man. I've just heard you can play. I'm sorry if I misled the nation in Toronto.
I can't play.
All right.
I never really could play.
You do this all the time, though.
I'll let Eddie McGarian or Sherwin Benn right into the show and tell you whether or not I could play.
Then I'll see some old, like City Pulse Athlete of the Week video of you putting up 40 on a bunch of guys.
I enjoyed basketball a lot. I wasn't as good in basketball as I was in hockey or football, maybe even volleyball. But I did captain my Bantam Boys high school basketball team. I was the second year grade 9 holdover. You know that one?
A lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Along with Courtney Dennis, who was a really good basketball player.
Shout out Courtney Dennis.
Went to a JUCO down south.
There you go. More horns for everybody. I was the guy who was always going to make the team.
Had he stayed here, we might have had three straight all-Canadian point guards. Shout out Senator O'Connor.
I was always the guy who was going to make the team as the sixth man and got lazy. Like, I knew if I made the team, I wouldn't start, but I wouldn't bring up, like, the back end.
Right.
And I'm like, do I want this that much?
No, I know exactly.
Do you know what
I'm saying?
Yeah,
no, when
honestly, I would bring us to championships, whatever. It's not important.
Oh, okay.
What's important is I just didn't feel like this was worth my time as I was starting my burgeoning broadcasting
career. You didn't
want
to go to 7 a.m. practices to come off the bench.
To come off the bench. Right. Now, would I have won the game off the bench? Yes, that's not the point. Yeah. The point is I didn't feel like this was worth my time.
Right.
Because I'm not a team player in any way, shape, or form.
I felt that way about university football. Like, I could go bash my head in to try and be on the practice roster, and then maybe in my second or third year.
No, come on. You were better than that.
No, that's about what I was.
Really?
Yeah, second or third year, maybe I would have made the dress roster.
Not the tape I saw from Senator O'Connor. Let me tell you something.
Didn't post one on Instagram. By the way.
One day, I want to get your game film and sit here with, like, some of the coaches you and I respect the most and break down how far Tim McAuliffe would have gone in a professional football career had your injuries not taken place. I would like to do that. You know the guys I want to bring in. Like, yeah. I want to really go through tape. And if they destroy you, it is what it is. We won't run it, but we'll keep it for parties.
That would be one, embarrassing, and two, really funny. So maybe
that's just for us.
I have a couple of football tapes.
Yeah.
I know on VHS, and I have a couple hockey tapes. I know on VHS.
Now, from a guy who didn't play football. So just so we're clear on that, I'm not ripping Tim in any way, shape, or form. I did not play football. I wasn't tough enough.
Did you have high school football at your
yeah.
house?
Yeah. But I also worked when I was probably not legal, so I was busy.
Keep saying like, I worked too.
You know what? I would have been a star quarterback, had to go to the grocery store. Had to work in the meat department and deal with a different type of sirloin.
You know, I was washing dishes at Kirby's really young, okay? So don't bring this up.
How many dishes could you wash, like, in an hour?
You know, the honest story was I had a glass break, and one of the waitresses... I said, I think I heard a glass break. And one of the waitresses goes, no, nothing. I looked around. There's nothing there. And then I did the rim thing on something, and I just sliced my finger wide open. And the old man goes, you're not working there anymore.
Oh, no.
That's what happened.
Oh.
By the way, did you know before? I know we were going to get started here and move along quickly.
I sidetracked us. I apologize.
Did you know it's World Kindness Day?
Seriously?
Today.
That's
November 13th.
World Kindness Day. Seriously?
What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Can you let her sing it? World Kindness Day. Really? Tim McAuliffe is hugging me right now. I appreciate it. But it's been a week, and I'm not feeling the kindness. I'm feeling it from Vinny.
That's when you change it.
Degan's still charging me full price on Fridays.
That's when you change it, Sixero, is when you don't feel the love.
Tim McAuliffe is walking around the room hugging eternal foes of his. Vinny gets a hug.
Degan.
Gonna hug Degan? You're going to have to shower after.
Sebastian.
Yancy.
Thanks, it's a good hug. Am I going to get in trouble for this?
Tim McAuliffe is walking around the room on this
World Kindness Day
to perpetuate this myth that human beings are kind to each other. I think we all know better. Tim is now hugging the camera. He is hugging people at home, in restaurants, and in Best Buys across Canada. Right. Freaking them out.
It's World Kindness Day.
World Kindness Day. My ass. But whatever. Let's go around hugging each other like it matters.
What? Sid.
World's going to end in five years anyway.
Sid.
I've read the book.
J.D. Bunkus.
From Good Show on the Fan?
Pretty good tweet from Good Show on the Fan 590 in Toronto. Tweets out, I remember when Twitter was fun and we just wanted to say hi to Shaq.
That's J.D.
Pretty good tweet.
I don't know if that's the first J.D. tweet on the show. That's pretty damn good, Bunkus.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
You should drop that guy Ennis soon, man. You don't need him. You don't need him. But keep Lance. Look, today is World Kindness Day. I do appreciate the sentiment.
Mm-hmm, okay.
I don't want to be the guy on the show that rips everything because I feel like that's my role.
Yep.
But I think kindness has been eroded.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what that is. Like you walking around this room hugging people, and half of which I didn't know if showered today.
Yeah.
It was a dangerous move. You walked up to a few people. That was foreign to me. That concept of going up to another human being and hugging them in 2019 is foreign to me.
Mm-hmm.
So excuse me if I'm a little taken aback by the visual. As much as I care about Vinny, as much as I care about Seb, and as much as I care about Dave or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
It was a very foreign concept.
His name's Dagan.
Whatever. True story.
Riley says that my hug to Canada was unconsensual.
No, that's not true. That is not true. It's not true.
It was a camera. It was an inanimate object. But I get it.
I had take your kids to work day was last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last week. So I obviously wasn't here. Somebody I know was watching the show that you and Alex were doing.
Yep.
And they saw a young man in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife got a phone call. Is that Tim's son? And then they watched for a little bit, and my wife goes, no, that's Dagan's son.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer on the other end of the phone was, oh, okay. And then the person leans back and yells out to a room, it's Dagan's son, guys. It's just Dagan's son. It's not Tim's.
Everyone knew Dagan.
A room of 20 people knew who the VP of Technical Ops on Tim. It's a Dagan awesome. Pasquale was. Or whatever his name is.
You know what? There's more people out there that want the
hugs. I don't buy it.
Scott writes in and said, I hugged the screen with @TimAndSid, #WorldKindnessDay. Will, thank you for the hug, Tim. Grady offers a hug back. It's a ghost hug, but it's still a hug.
That's not a hug. That's a thing you send on the internet.
Well,
that's not a hug.
It's
a ghost hug.
I will take all digital hugs today.
It's a phantom hug.
We can all use them at this juncture in time. I think the timing couldn't be better for World Kindness Day.
You know what, Tim? I think you're right. I think I've been a little too Scrooge-like on this.
All right.
Because Christina, I'm just jaded about
thank
life.
Thank you, Christina. I appreciate it.
Would you mind if I tried to hug everyone, too?
You want to hug everybody?
I was wrong. I mocked every second of your walk-around hug on World Kindness Day.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, Vinny's scared, I feel like I would like to send that back to people. And I want to try and get on your side on this.
Now, Ryan wrote in and said, time to make Sid feel more at home and just put a gif of who cares, yeah, get bent, like people being mean. Is that, would you rather have that?
Who says get bent? What is this, like 2012?
Who cares?
Who says get bent?
Yeah, get bent.
This is a Jerky Boys bit?
Yeah,
what is this?
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to. Okay, I'm going to hug you guys. Is that okay?
Ninja wants to get. Canada.
I want to hug him.
Toronto. We're going to go to the megaphone.
Yeah, ask.
Yeah.
I don't want to
sue. We're
going to
ask. I don't want to do this again.
This is
again.
Like high
we're not
school.
Do
I want to make sure everyone's
thing.
Cool with it.
Okay.
They got some laughs.
Marcus says, just pass on your kindness to those in your life around you. I say, no, we need it all. We need it all. Can Sid Sixero hug Canada on TV, Toronto on radio, sportsnet.ca/vote? We'll put it up after the lead.
Yeah, because we need it for the lead.
Okay. Do we really need it for the lead, though?
I don't think we do.
All right. Do you want to go through the things that we're going to talk about today?
Oh, yeah. We haven't even done this. It's Wednesday, November 13th.
No, just go through the things.
Oh, the things?
Coming up over the next 2 hours.
Tim and Sid.
We will discuss the Jets.
Who's the Avs goalie?
Raptors road trip.
Another win?
Jays.
Jake Odorizzi.
Zach Hyman.
Back on the ice.
John Tavares.
Back in Uniondale.
Those are some of the things that we will talk about. By the way, also some rumors swirling around Major League Baseball. Jeff Passan is going to join us a little later on. Elliot Friedman for his 3 of 31 thoughts. Chris Johnston for Tavares' return to Uniondale. We get Pajama Boy again? Is it going to be full Pajama Boy treatment once again?
I don't think World Kindness Day will be observed in Uniondale tonight.
No,
for John
you don't.
Tavares. Just a hunch. Mm-hmm. I know we're now 3 games deep into this, but I think some fans still might let him know. That's just a hunch. Mm-hmm. It is the New York area, after all. I'm not going out on a big limb.
All right. Fine.
So we're going to take a poll. Should I hug everyone in the studio? Should I stop being a Scrooge about this? Mm-hmm. Should I show more love? Or just realize that the world is a cesspool of hate and deal with it.
AG writes in and says, way to take the first step, Tim. It starts with you. Sid, hug it out. Don't thug it out.
That's pretty damn good. All right. As Timmy said, Elliot Friedman, Chris Johnson joining us. Jeff Passan will join us from the GM meetings in Scottsdale.
Thanks, Dagan.
We're hugging it out today on
the
Tim
director.
And Sid. We're having
technical operations.
Don't touch me.
Dagan Pasquale.
You smell like a couch and taxes. Get away from me.
A couch and taxes?
Kind of stay my ass.
Whose couch? Welcome back to Tim and Sid Radio and TV. We've got plenty of tweets, but I'm going to start with some rumors in baseball that I just want to get out there before Passan joins us later next hour. John Heyman. Braves would like to retain Josh Donaldson, but are allowing him to shop around before engaging on multi-year deal. So far, he's been linked to Rangers, Dodgers, and Nats, though Washington's first choice is obviously some guy named Rendon, who did pretty well in the World Series. Phillies could also fit as well. Bob Nightingale, and Sid said this to me earlier, and to be fair, Bob has had hits and misses over the last little while.
Yeah, sometimes he struggled a bit.
Texas Rangers are making an aggressive push to sign Josh Donaldson. So all that's out there. As for our World Kindness Day conversation off the top, Captain Dave. Tim can keep the hug, but he can buy me a Timmy's, hashtag pass it on. I do that regularly at my local Timmy's.
It's funny you say that. I've never done that.
And Captain Dave, if you're ever behind me in the Timmy's line, you may get one of those. Quatrick Swayze writes in and says, the only hug you need on World Kindness Day
is Caillou.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. It's a picture of Caillou, but is he suggesting that perhaps because we both have similar heads that I am Caillou? Because that would be the ultimate insult to me, because you know how much I hate Caillou.
Caillou is the most evil children's character ever created, because all Caillou does is whine about his lot in life. I want a TV. Shut up. Go work for it. Come on. Caillou just complains about everything. It's the wrong message.
Yeah, no, it's completely the wrong. We actually had Caillou trending in Canada because we brought up the conversation on Tim and Sid the radio show.
And I'm late on Caillou. Tim had to kind of enlighten me on Caillou, and I have no respect for Caillou.
Banned in the McAuliffe household as my kids
were
that
young. Zero respect for Caillou.
No chance Caillou
would stream that at all, even for
nephews. No, I can't get anything done.
When's Zach Hyman coming back? It's a Leaf fan, I think.
And finally, Steve Young writes in and says, a hug? Don't you mean a barrel kiss? Hashtag dad bod.
I think he's talking about you.
Barrels. Well, no, I know. I was the one giving out the hugs. Yeah, no, we both have it. But if you and I actually hugged, the first thing that would touch would be our bellies.
If we hugged, would we ever lock arms?
That's what he's talking about.
Phineas. Would we ever lock arms if we hugged because I'm 7 months pregnant? All right. That's it for that. So thanks for all the tweets.
I don't want any negativity in this day. It is World Kindness Day. Everyone asking us to be super negative today. We're staying away. Okay? Can
yes.
we do that?
Yes.
Are we allowed to do that?
Yes. Until we talk about the Jays offseason hopes of signing people. Then it might get negative.
All right. I forgot who I was working with. Time for the late ad megaphone brought to you by Rogers Ignite TV. Now you're in command. You've been voting all day long at sportsnet.ca/vote. Option number one, NHL last night. Option number two, Raptors Blazers. Option number three, the latest on Sidney Crosby's injury, or at least the latest as we know it, because Sidney Crosby might be going under the knife. And because I want to get to the next megaphone at sportsnet.ca/vote.
Here, man. Couple polls.
NHL last night wins it. 53% is where we're going to start because the Raptors and Blazers features four of the guys that you actually thought you were going to see at the start of the year.
Correct. Correct. So 54% of you, 56% of you, 53%. It's always changing. I do this all the time with the poll.
No, don't do it.
I'm going to stop. I got caught there. I shouldn't. So last night, the NHL at 54%. But there is another poll that you were talking about, Tim.
Yeah, the other poll will be Canada. Do you want Sid to virtually hug you? That'll go on the megaphone next.
Tim McAuliffe got up early in the show.
You want a camera hug from Sid Sixero.
World Kindness Day, and he hugged Canada. He hugged the Toronto radio market.
Mm-hmm.
He hugged everyone in the studio. It was a nice gesture.
Because the world does need love.
Absolutely. I was really flipping on the entire thing to start. Now I'm kind of on board with it. Should I be doing this, or am I just following McAuliffe?
End of the first block. Okay?
Okay. Do I get blocked at the end of the first block from doing this, or will I be allowed by Canada? It's in your hands,
Canada. End of the segment, Canada.
It's in your hands.
So there are a lot of places that we could begin with. Last night's action in the NHL as the kids voted on it. Overtime. Shootout wins. Crazy comebacks, coaches calling out their team. So with everything on the table, it's not often I do this, where would you like to begin and pay no mind that the lead says Canadians down, Blue Jackets 3-2 in shootout?
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me I can pick.
You can pick wherever you want.
Any of the selections that you put on the table.
Just because on the screen it says Canadians down, Blue Jackets 3-2 in shootout doesn't mean that you have to go there.
I have my own. No, leave the key. I like it. I can make up my own mind on where we go with this.
There's never any pressure.
No one on this show is pushing me in a specific direction.
We will not be coerced by graphics on the screen because we're also on radio where I don't know if you know this, Sid. There's no graphics.
All right, so I can go anywhere. Where do I go? What is the first topic of all the topics last night in the National Hockey League?
By the way, we do love you, Alex.
We do. Shout out.
We love you, Alex.
My brain is thinking. How about the Habs? The Montreal Canadiens. Let me tell you something. The Montreal Canadiens. There was a moment yesterday in the show, because Tim did his research, we thought Shea Weber wasn't playing last night.
Mm-hmm.
He was ill, wasn't going to go in there. Late, Werenski gets a goal for the Columbus Blue Jackets. By the way, a team that beat out the Montreal Canadiens for that final playoff spot a year ago. Obviously, this is not your grandfather's Columbus Blue Jackets.
No.
It's a very different team.
No, they've lost a few guys.
But the Habs, facing what could have been a pretty disappointing regulation loss last night, were it not for your boy, Thomas Tatar. Getting it done late in regulation, Suzuki with the feed. Look, this isn't the biggest win I've ever seen in the National Hockey League this season. But when you consider that they nearly lost in regulation and everything else that happened in the Atlantic Division last night, they went from like fourth to second place in the Atlantic Division, the Montreal Canadiens.
They did.
So again, like we talked about yesterday, Tim, a healthy Habs team, give me a healthy Habs team.
What?
Oh, man, Jeff Petrie's playing 32 minutes a night. They didn't have to lean on Weber last night.
They still haven't had Carey Price and the offense clicking at the same time.
Correct.
Like, watch out rest of the Atlantic if they get the... Because we've seen them score goals this year. Carey Price was very good last night. They got a few breaks along the way. The Brendan Gallagher goal wasn't exactly well-earned, but you take it, you get the 2 points, and you move on. Especially this day and age, if you don't play your best and you still get 2 points, take it and run, right?
That's one of those results down the stretch last year that if they got...
They might have been in, correct.
And I know, Tim, everything you're saying is valid. It wasn't the Mona Lisa last night.
But when you count the points at the end of the year, sometimes it just doesn't matter. Just get it done, and the Habs found a way to get it done last night in what's looking like a crazy division right now. Just some oddities going on there.
They're second in the Atlantic with 23 points. Florida has the same amount. Toronto is fourth. Toronto is playing tonight. And speaking of the standings, I found this truly amazing. And maybe I'm just the only one, okay? On to something or make a relax. Is this amazing, crazy, stupid, maybe even? After the Panthers stormed back to beat Boston last night, the Bruins are only 3 points up on Florida and Montreal, as you can see on television. They have 11 regulation wins to the Boston Bruins. Do you know how many regulation wins the Panthers, who are 3 points back of them, have? Six. Same as Ottawa.
That's a difference. That's a difference.
Is that not insane?
Yeah, that's wild.
That's what the new NHL is with all these three-point games. And I've been struggling to comprehend it. I've been struggling to articulate it. And I think that's the best way to articulate it.
And I hate every second of that.
Regulation wins. 11 for Boston, 6 for Florida, and they're only 3 points back in the division.
I understand the league loves this. I understand this is what the National Hockey League adores. Because
they want this, yeah.
Just gaslighting everyone into thinking they're in a playoff race when really they're not. As someone who sits here every day with you to go over some of this, this is a pain in my ass.
Yeah.
Because you know some of these teams aren't real. You know some of these teams aren't. Like, that last year conversation with the Oilers and are they in it was the most annoying daily conversation you and I were forced to have on air every day. Because you knew they weren't in it, and I knew they weren't in it, and they knew they weren't in it from November on. But the math of the entire situation says, nope, they're in it. Talk about the Oilers, who can't do much right aside from two guys. Are they in it? And we knew they weren't. This system drives me nuts.
Exactly half of their games have gone to extra hockey.
Panthers.
Yeah. Last two wins have been in shootout.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What happened last night with the Panthers and the Boston Bruins?
Storm back, 6-0. That's what happened. They storm back.
Do you think Leaf fans feel better whenever they see the Bruins blow a lead in that building?
Not if the other team's in the Atlantic.
Correct. It's a lose-lose.
Yeah, and I think the same with every other team in the Atlantic. Same with Habs fans. They don't want to see that because they know Boston will be there at the end, and any other team who gains points is a bad thing for everyone else in the Atlantic.
I have nothing but respect for the Boston Bruins and what they have accomplished and what they could still accomplish this year and how they build their team and how they don't have to pay $10 million for guys and how they're doing it the correct way. But a result like that does scare me a little bit.
Yeah.
And listen, I know it's the middle of November. April's a long way away.
Right.
But I do not like to see any team, I don't care what level you're working at, blow a 4-0 lead at home.
Yeah.
That is disgusting.
And I don't want to face that team in the next game out.
Correct.
Because they are going to come out firing. Same thing's going on in the Pacific right now. Edmonton gets beat down in San Jose as the Oilers' mom trip suffers its first loss. 6-3 decision in San Jose. Good line from Twitter. The Edmonton Oilers' moms weren't mad, just disappointed. Dave Tippett had some interesting things to say again. Here's a little bit from Dave Tippett after his team drops the 6-3 decision in San Jose.
Right through, right from the goaltender on out, it was, and the goaltender, there was some of those deflections, but it wasn't a good effort by a group right through. It shows a little bit of the immaturity of the group to sustain things, and immaturity of, like, we're trying to become a real good team, but we're not there yet. You know, real good teams go out and they, when all else fails, at least you can say they're going to recognize the situation and go out and compete hard. And we didn't compete hard. We got out competed by a desperate team.
He's banging the drum on that, eh? Like, that's not the first time. And we heard Todd McClellan do the same thing with the Edmonton Oilers. But it seems like Tippett knows and speaks from experience, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying McClellan didn't, but Tippett knows if this team plays its heart out every game with those two superstars on that team, they can win games. If they don't, they're going to be an average team or the team that we've seen in the last few years not make the playoffs.
Well, I think what really I agree with you. What really concerned him last night, it's not the loss. It's that they haven't done things they've done for most of the year. whether it be in their own end, whether it be Mike Smith was terrible, whether it was goaltending, whether it was in their own end, and I'm still surprised Koskinen, the way he was playing, didn't get the start last night, but whatever. That was not the Oilers team we have seen this year. And I think that's the part that bothered him the most.
Yep.
And I'm not against him post-game having a right go at his team, because at some point, guys do tune out on that. But I think considering they're still in first, that's when you have everyone's attention.
Correct.
And I think you can rectify it. As long as you nip it in the bud and correct some bad habits, I'm fine with Dave Tippett going down that road with a hockey team that is significantly better than it was last year. By the way, Ethan Bear
has been a bear.
My God. I think he played
a horse.
Like, I think the guys were saying he played a game high 9 minutes in the first period last night.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was the amount of trust that Dave Tippett and that coaching staff are showing this kid
has been a revelation.
Like, there had to be, right? Like, there's got to be certain guys, regardless of when you drafted them, to step up and step in and look the part and play their role and play it effectively. And Ethan Bear is, I mean, his claws are out. I mean, that's an awful bear analogy. I'm sorry, I don't have many. But he's been fantastic. By the way, what I did really like about the Oilers last night.
Ooh.
Don't touch Connor.
Yeah.
Thomas Hertl, who the hell do you think you are? Do not touch 97. I don't care if it's gentle bump. I don't care if it's a little shoulder. I don't care what it is. That is the franchise / the league / earth. Don't go near him. Manning went in there. Cassian went in there. Listen, man, you could lose 9-0. If you show me some grit after 97 gets hit by anybody, in the moment, that's a win. I don't care what the scoreboard says for your hockey team. And quite frankly, Oilers teams in the past would have went back to the bench. They look like the Leafs. They would have just turned around and went. I really liked seeing that last night. And that message goes to everyone. Don't touch 97. If Cassian's got to be the guy to do it and get a match and fight, that's fine. But someone's got to step in, and multiple guys stepped in last night. And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me from the Oilers last night. That's a positive. Good for them.
Tippett was asked about it. He said the same thing. We got to stand up for each other. Yeah.
Good.
Someone tried to get more because it ended up being even instead of a penalty just against Hertl.
Yeah.
It ended up being even. And someone was asking whether or not he liked that. And he said, we got to stand up for each other.
Good.
I got more standings ridiculousness. So the Oilers lose. They're still first in the Pacific.
Correct.
Have you looked at the rest? Have you looked at the top three teams?
Changes
in the
every
Pacific?
Hour. No.
It does.
Remind me right now what the top three teams
top
aside
three
from the Oilers
teams
are.
Teams in the Pacific are Edmonton, Arizona, and Vancouver. Just like we all predicted at the start of the year. In the Pacific, Oilers, Coyotes, Canucks. Boy, God bless you, hockey. God bless you.
Boy, that first round travel between Glendale and Vancouver is going to suck. That's going to be an awful media trip to cover. By the way, Darcy Kemper of the Coyotes is like the best goalie on earth no one is talking about.
Yeah,
go back to the All-Star break last year.
Is it Thomas Greiss or is it Darcy Kemper?
No, it's Darcy Kemper. Greiss wasn't looking like that. Go All-Star break on to this moment.
Okay.
Kemper has been a beast in this league. Mm-hmm. That guy is sick. Although Thomas Greiss, we'll talk about Greiss in a second.
How about your Adam Werner?
Oh, is that who?
Or Werner.
Is that who was a net
against
Werner? You're talking to him like he's a Red Bull Leipzig striker.
Well, he's Swedish, so 40 saves coming in relief against the Jets. Avs get a 4-0 win. He had 13 American Hockey League games on his resume before he went into that game last night and stopped 40 Jet shots in a win.
So Grubauer's already hurt.
Pavel Francouz.
I was going to call him Arthur Fonzarelli. I forgot his name.
Yeah. 31 seconds in, he gets hurt.
By the way, how does Scheifele get the penalty on that? Are you kidding me? Give me a break. What the hell is he supposed to do?
By the way, do you know that the kid, Werner, he's a 22-year-old Swede, 40 saves. Goalie gets hurt 31 seconds into the game, not a shot on goal before he got hurt.
Really?
Werner doesn't get the shutout. He doesn't get an official shutout.
What?
No, it's not an official shutout because he didn't play the whole game. It's a team shutout. Because the other guy played 31
seconds.
So
wait a second.
Is that not ridiculous?
Wait a second. So I'm in a hockey pool.
Yeah, we need common sense. Vice president of common sense.
And by accident, Werner is my guy in net, and I don't get the shutout.
No.
Who would have Adam Werner as
the guy in last place in your office pool?
No one would have him. Who just picked
him up because he was in the research section.
No.
Yes, that
nobody
guy.
I guarantee you, if you go to all leagues, there will be 0% owner.
I can tell you right now, maybe after last night, there might be some ownership. I can't give you that.
Going into last night, you would have had 0% ownership on Werner.
At Tim and Sid, someone tell me on the Yahoo pools how many people had Werner going into last night.
Before we get into your poll, I want to talk about the Hart Trophy winner as of right now.
Oh, we got to talk about this.
And the reason why the Avalanche, I mean, listen, the kid played awesome. Goalie was fantastic.
Jets didn't play awesome.
And the Avalanche jumped out to a lead thanks to Nathan MacKinnon, who has 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points on the 4 goals the Avalanche score. We stopped the season right now. He's the Hart Trophy winner and maybe could have won the Hart Trophy a year ago.
I mean, if you're ranking your top 5 players on earth, where is he?
Oh, he's right up there. He's right up there. So Connor McDavid, is Sidney Crosby healthy? Because we should probably talk about the idea that he might go under the knife, at least according to Athletic. He is pondering
hernia surgery
after a sports hernia has been bugging him for a little while. We'll talk to Elliot Friedman a little bit more about that in a second.
If Crosby has surgery and is out for X amount of time.
McKinnon's second.
McKinnon's got to go second because Sid's going to drop a little
Kucherov.
Bit. Yeah, I'd put him there over Kucherov, definitely.
He drives everything, and even when his Landeskog and Rantanen are out, 4-point night, 4-0 win, come on. He is unbelievable.
I mean, pound for pound, we're talking pound for pound, is Binnington in there?
Oh, yeah, I'll give you Binnington.
I know it's been a quick rise, but come on.
I was just thinking about skaters. I wasn't thinking about goalies.
Okay, I'll take the goaltending out. So we'll talk more about MacKinnon, who is that dude. Right now, a little later on.
Okay, and Chris Johnson's also going to join us about Tavares' return to Uniondale and whether or not he gets pajama boy treatment.
I've just been told Werner, the goalie who did not get the shutout last night for Colorado, is still only owned in 5% of Yahoo Fantasy Hockey Leagues right now.
Well, but I guess he'll play a little bit in this moment, though, not last night. No, I know, until Grubauer gets back.
Well, you got two guys who are hurt. You might as well, hey, here's your fantasy hockey tip of the day. Get him.
Get Werner. You believe in him after one game, 40 saves.
I think he's the next Kemper. That's what I think.
All right, bring up the poll. Earlier today, we let everyone know that it was World Kindness Day. And as such, we're not going to talk about someone making a ridiculous comment outside of sports on hockey and who plays it, right? Like, we're not going to walk down that road on World Kindness Day, are we?
Nope.
When you say something ridiculous, we can just let it go because you don't work in sports or with us.
Correct.
Okay, good. Let's get back to World Kindness Day. Should Sid hug Canada? It is an overwhelming yes.
Wow.
80% of people want Sid Sixero to hug Canada.
Canada wants the good stuff. All right, Canada. I got about 38 seconds here. I need music, though.
You want hugging music?
I can't do anything without music.
Do you want the World Kindness Day music?
This is perfect. Thank you. Hello, Canada. Hello, Toronto. It's your boy, S. Doggy. Sid. It's World Kindness Day.
Don't stand that close. No, they did. Hug.
I can't believe it.
Hug
again. I'm sorry.
You're kidding.
I'm giving everyone a hug. Thank you.
Sebby's behind the camera. I think he just puked in his mouth a little bit. Sixero leaned in for a big, wet kiss.
Dude, what did they hug? Put me back on.
It was just...
I'm on Real Sports right now.
Big screens.
Someone's throwing up their wings.
All right, time for the break. Right. Jeff Passan, Elliot Friedman, Chris Johnson, all lined up for now.
Kindness. You want a hug, Tim?
No, not after that.
Next poll.
No. Sorry?
What?
This is Tim and Sid across radio and television. Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto. Sportsnet coast to coast. Sportsnet 360. Aaron writes in and says, I immediately regretted voting yes to the Sid hug for Canada. Added the barfing emoji with the hashtag Tim and Sid. Christina writes in, I take it back. I regret everything. Hashtag no kindness hug Sid. Sandra writes in and says, I just screamed. The cat leaped from the couch in horror. Hashtag Tim and Sid. Hashtag
World Kindness Day.
Far from perfect.
And finally, Rocco. I've now got diarrhea.
That sums it all up.
And then adds a picture of Sid leaning in. I don't even know what the hell that all
is.
See
my germs. That's what you can see. My goodness. I believe that's... I should have got that flu shot.
We're done. Take it out. Freege will legit walk off the set
if the visual's up any longer. We've got two games on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey tonight. John Tavares returns to Long Island as the Leafs visit the Islanders. Sens visit the Devils. It all begins with Hockey Central, 6:30 Eastern. As always, Elliot Friedman will be part of tonight's coverage. You can read his 31 Thoughts column on sportsnet.ca. Elliot joins us now for 3 of 31, brought to you by the next generation 2019 GMC Sierra Denali with the world's first available 6-function multi-pro tailgate. Freeze, it's good to see you. How you doing, man?
Now the segment's over. It took so long to read the tagline. By the way, Sid, I think you need to go see the doctor. That did not look healthy.
I saw yellow in there. Did you see yellow, Freeze?
I saw orange. Like I'm looking down there. I wish I had a telestrator. I'm seeing some orange or yellow. And what are those lights? Is that like a 401 tunnel you got there? Like, seriously, are those...
He's in Amherstburg going across the border at Detroit,
seriously,
if you've ever been there.
Like, it looks like those are like lampposts. Please drive this way.
It's the magic that comes from his mouth.
Is that the most unhealthiest mouth you've ever seen, though?
Yeah, I got to say, I haven't looked into a lot of mouths in my life, but that's right up there.
It almost takes your...
Seriously, Tim, if your coworker, when they come to work, you don't like them when they come sick, man, if I was you, I'd be telling Sid, you got a doctor day tomorrow.
He's already had a few. I don't know if you know this, but he's probably not the healthiest human being out there.
Okay, fine. I'll go home. That. I'll pop in my Microsoft and card and I'll figure out what I got. Freege, it's great to see you, man, as always.
Good to see you guys too.
The Leafs and let's start Leafs Islanders tonight. There's a lot going on here. The Leafs' backup goalie situation might be the most talked about one in the history of time. Is this a real problem, or is this a Toronto Leafs media manufactured thing, do you think?
No, this is a real problem because, you know, you're giving away points that you need. This isn't the last two seasons where Boston, Tampa, and Toronto knew they were in the playoffs in January. This is going to be a race. This is Buffalo. I know they struggled recently, but I think they're better. Montreal looks better. I think that you're sitting here right now, and there's no guarantee you're making the playoffs like there was the last couple of seasons. So you're giving away points, and I absolutely think it's something that they have to look to correct. Now, you know, I think with Cascasuo getting called up, I think they're going to give him, again, this could change with one phone call, but my sense is he's going to get a shot on Saturday night against Pittsburgh. They want to see what this guy can do. The amazing thing about this, guys, is a year ago, I don't know anybody who thought that this guy was going to be, that Cascasuo was going to be an NHL, had a chance to play in the NHL. But the thing that changed people's opinions is last year in the playoffs, he was very good. Of all AHL goalies who played at least 10 games, he was number one in goals against and save percentage, and he's been improved this year. Now, you can say that Toronto's got a good team. I think the fact is that he's been better, and now at least the people who've seen him say he's got a shot. He deserves a look. How long that look is going to be, how effective it's going to be, I can't answer that. But it is a real legitimate problem, and nobody's making too much of it.
I got to ask you about the Sidney Crosby stuff that we were just talking about before the break, and wondering if you know anything about the idea of surgery for a sports hernia, as reported in The Athletic or suggested in The Athletic, and what's the latest on that, and could they survive without him?
Well, they have a day off today. They played the Rangers last night. They have a day off today, so we're not expecting any updates today, which means we'll see what happens when they get back on the ice tomorrow. I think the story is 100% legitimate. Like, I think when Rob Rossi is really well connected to the Penguins, he knows what he's talking about. And I think the Penguins are facing a decision in terms of, do they do this now? Do they wait? Like, to me, you do it now. If you think Sidney Crosby is going to have surgery and he needs it, and there's no guarantee, like the worst case scenario for the Penguins at a time when they say, as long as we have Crosby and we have Malkin, we're going for it every year. The worst case scenario to me is you put it off, you try like an alternate therapy, and you put it off and you find out it doesn't work, and all of a sudden you have to take your surgery later. To me, you do it now. You've still got Malkin. You've got a team that's shown like a lot of guts this year. They've played really hard. They've been really banged up. Crosby has been MVP level, and that's a worry. But I think you take your chances with what you got. Now, the concern that some people said to me is, I think the story put the recovery somewhere between 4 and 8 weeks. The concern is that it could take longer because it's such a difficult surgery. But that's the risk you take, and that's why if I'm the Penguins and it's my choice, I'm doing it now as opposed to waiting till later.
We're talking Crosby. Him and Nathan MacKinnon obviously have a pretty tight relationship. Four-point night last night without Landeskog, without Rantanen. If I asked him earlier, Friedge, if you're ranking top five skaters on earth right now, like, where's MacKinnon on that list?
Oh, he's in your he's on your list, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was saying he might be two.
Well, who are you guys putting at one?
I put Connor. McDavid at one.
Connor. Okay, you're putting McDavid at one. I can't argue with that. That's a good pick.
You're expecting less of us, eh? Did you see how surprised? Well, I guess I can't argue with that.
I was going to put Jeff Petrie there.
One of you just put their mouth all over the world. Like, you know, what is there to expect, really?
Fair enough.
Valid point from Elliot Friedman.
Fair point.
3 of 31.
I think there's nothing wrong with McDavid as MacKinnon's number two. And hey, it's easy to be a great player when you're loaded with your best lineup around you. It's harder to do the job. And it's not like, you know, playing with Calvert and Donskoy, like he's got, you know, two bags of pucks or
right.
two loaves of bread next to him. He's got two good players, but you elevate in the moments where your team needs you, and right now MacKinnon's doing that. You know who's also been dynamite is the guy who could win the Calder on the blue line.
Cale Makar has been unbelievable.
He was embarrassing dudes last night.
He has the same amount of points as Mitch Marner, 18 and 18.
Is that good?
And they're making nearly the same amount this year.
Yeah. Nearly the same amount. What's your best guess on what happens with Ilya Kovalchuk and the Kings?
It sounds to me like there's a big wrestling match behind the scenes over what the Kings really can do and what the league. I know the league is involved. I know the Players Association is involved. And, you know, the Players Association's position is you got to protect the contract, right? And you don't want anything that is legal, that sets legal precedent for what the Kings can do to Kovalchuk's contract. So, you know, I think they're all wrestling right now with where this is going to go. I do believe, as I initially reported yesterday, that they wanted to say to Kovalchuk, either, you know, we'd like to take you out of the lineup, and I think the plan was either to, you can go, or you can stay in practice, or you can stay until we pay your last bonus on December 15th, and then you can go. And I think since that kind of was presented to him between the Kings, his agent, the league, and the Players Association, they're all wrestling as to what can really happen here. So I think there's a lot of moving targets. He did practice today. He didn't take a regular shift. Todd McClellan sure made it sound like since they won last night, he's not going to play tomorrow. But I think a lot of this is really up in the air. I mean, the bottom line is he's not long for the Los Angeles Kings.
Friedge, before we let you go, we got about 90 seconds here. As Tim has talked about a lot today, this is World Kindness Day on Earth. When was the last time someone was extremely kind to you, or you were extremely kind to someone else that you are willing to share on air with us?
You know, I don't believe in sharing kindness things I do otherwise. I hate talking about that stuff. Like, I'm not saying I'm a super kind person in private. I'd hate to lie to people and tell them that. But, you know,
you're giving to November, buddy. I can see that.
No, that's true.
Yeah, I don't like that. You know,
you don't want to separate your shoulder, patting yourself on the back?
No, I don't.
Okay.
You know, the only thing I would say is, you know, this is a really nice initiative, and so is, for example, Bell Let's Talk Day.
Yep.
I see a lot of people out there who tweet great things on Bell Let's Talk Day, but they're awful to people on Twitter the other 364 days of the year.
Yeah.
And I just think that if you're a person who's tweeting out the hashtag on either one of these 2 days, that it doesn't give you license to be rude or worse the other days of the year.
Yeah, we read a tweet earlier. Remember when Twitter was just a lot of fun and saying hi to Shaq and hoping that he responded. Not
that
like that anymore.
That is the greatest story ever. What was that? It was a Waffle House or something like that?
Something like that.
I think so.
Yeah,
I don't even
awesome
remember
story.
The. Yeah, old school.
Elliot made Twitter. That made Twitter
it
that
did.
Day.
Whenever Elliot opens his mouth, great things come out. Whenever I open my mouth, it's disgusting. Elliot Friedman.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, good luck with whatever that condition is.
I got to get it checked out. There's a
someone
clinic
needs a throat swab.
Clinic here. I should really just go in there. Thanks, Elliot. Yeah, Elliot Friedman again. Hockey tonight. Let's take a break.
Jeff Passan.
Jeff Passan's coming up. Chris Johnson is down in Uniondale because we got the Islanders and the Leafs on Sportsnet tonight.
I think the baseball rumors might even be more juicy than Tavares' return to Uniondale.
There's a lot of interesting baseball things. Something.
This is Tim and Sid.
Or a lot of GMs just talking to get Tony Clark off their back.
Radio and TV continues next.
Missed an episode of Tim and Sid? Listen to every episode and subscribe with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand.
Time for Tim and Sid. It's time for real sports talk with Tim McCallum and Sid Sexero.
Thank you, sheepdogs. Tim and Sid back for another 30 minutes on TV and the full hour on Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Southern Ontario. What's up? Five games in the NHL tonight. You can see three of them on the network this evening. Flames host the Stars on Sportsnet 1, 7:30 nice. Mountain. 9:30 Eastern. Sens visit the Devils, Sportsnet 360.
Okay.
Leafs visit the Islanders on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan got it good.
And since you understood, that's where we begin the lineup brought to you by Swiss Chalet. Taste it once, love it forever. John Tavares faced the Islanders twice as a visitor last season, and Islander fans didn't exactly hold back in expressing their feelings towards their former captain. And despite all the team's success since he's left, Tavares will likely face another hostile crowd tonight in Uniondale.
Tonight's game is no joke for Islanders fans. John Tavares is back in the building.
Hell hath no fury like a fan base scorn.
Screw you, John! Screw you!
You hurt us all.
Lying.
Traitor.
Snake.
Pajama boy.
We know that will be an emotional atmosphere.
Fans, please welcome John Tavares.
We don't need you. I'll never forgive you.
Remember Pajama Boy Girl?
So much for World Kindness Day.
Yes, it just ended.
It's over. Since Tavares left, the Islanders have won more games than the Leafs. That's the math.
Yeah.
And a playoff series, by the way, a sweep of Pittsburgh, no less.
To boot.
Why does it seem, Tim, mm-hmm. like the Islanders are better?
No, they have been.
Without Tavares.
You don't have to say seem. They have been better without Tavares statistically, mathematically. That is correct. And it's going to be the same things I said about the Edmonton Oilers coaches and goalies getting it done. And then the Oilers went out and got shellacked. Yesterday, you asked me a similar question. What's the difference between the Edmonton Oilers last year and this year? I said it was coaches and goaltending, and they got pasted, what was it, 3 goals on 6 shots after I mentioned how good the goalies were playing?
Yes.
That's what it was. Barry Trotz and the goaltenders are the difference. I don't know if they go out and get pasted tonight, but it's pretty crazy. Listen, they missed the playoffs by 17 points in Tavares' final season with the team. Last year with Barry Trotz, 48 wins, 103 points, their highest totals in each category since 83-84. That's when they were the good old boys. And they reached the second round of the playoffs for the first time in 25 years. They're second in the division this year. A lot of people thought it was Robin Lehner, and Lehner is still playing well in Chicago. Thomas Greiss leads the NHL in goals against average and save percentage, 188 and 942. Semyon Varlamov, who's starting tonight, 9th in save percentage, 8th in goals against. So unsurprising, the Islanders are the best defensive team in the NHL, and that has been the difference since Tavares left. And by the way, Barry Trotz came in.
Yeah, that guy can coach.
Right. So I'm suggesting to you that it's not exactly that Tavares leaving, but more the Trotz coming.
Speaking of coming back, so to speak, the other big story for the Leafs tonight is the return of the one and only Zach Hyman. Hyman back in the lineup, knee surgery in the offseason, although he played in the playoffs against Boston with one knee.
Right.
Let's not forget that. He will make his season debut following offseason knee surgery tonight.
Feels good to be back. Approach it like any other game, or try to at least. It's first game of the season for me, so just excited. It's just a general excitement. Been watching a lot of hockey, obviously. Been around the guys a bunch, practicing a ton, so feel ready and excited to finally get playing.
I think just getting his feet wet, getting involved, that will be a big boost to our team, I think, with what he brings and what he means to our hockey club on the ice and in the locker room. So having him back is great. I know it's great for me, especially playing with him. A lot of good success last year and built some good chemistry. So want to pick up where we were and continue to get better.
So what does Hyman's return mean to the Toronto Maple Leafs?
The hype is real. Like, I know there's an element of other hockey fans in this country when you hear about Leaf fans talk about Zach Hyman and go, really? Really? Like, it's Zach Hyman. But no one else on that team is going in the corners like that. No one else is going to help out on both sides of special teams like that, potentially. No one else is going to dig like Zach Hyman. No one else is going to help out the periphery players of the Leafs team like Zach Hyman. Zach Hyman is that important because you don't have a lot of Zach Hymans on this team. There aren't enough of them on this team. So scoff at all the Zach Hyman talk with the Leafs all you want. It comes from a place of fact. It comes from a place of correctness because he is a unicorn on this roster, a guy who will gladly do the little things to get Tavares and Marner the puck. Now, I know Marner's not there, but you know what I'm saying. He is that important. Is he going to help? Is he going to help them beat the Bruins single-handedly? I'm not saying that. But we kind of saw when he was dinged up last year in a serious way, it did hurt this hockey club. They should have beat the Bruins on Easter Sunday at home, and they didn't. And I think his injury had a lot to do with it. He is that important. He's Zach Hyman.
But don't, like, forget about the name recognition of other teams' fans. A lot of Leaf fans who have no name recognition for Zach Hyman. They don't understand what you just said. Like, if Mike Babcock were to provide a blueprint for the rest of the Leafs on how they want to play, Zach Hyman is the example, is he not?
You need a lot more of him.
Right.
He is the bar on what you need to do.
It's not as if he's tough or he's just ultimate sacrifice, do whatever he can to help the team win.
Yes.
And I think that's what Mike Babcock's trying to get out of everyone in that lineup.
He busts his ass.
Right.
And he doesn't take the easy shift off, unlike other dudes on this team, quite frankly. He goes in there and tries to do the best he can. And he's needed. We need Chris Johnson of Sportsnet down in Uniondale. He'll join us momentarily. Uniondale, again, this is the third time that John Tavares will go back to Uniondale, as we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of woke up today thinking, the vibe won't be like it was. The vibe isn't going to be having rats thrown onto the ice.
No, it's Uniondale.
You think it's going to be as hot, as intense as we saw a year ago.
But there'll still be a residue of it. And there still will be "we don't need you" chance, without a doubt.
Yeah, potentially.
Will Mike Babcock field or ice a healthy lineup this year? Because you get Hyman back, and the juxtaposition as Tavares returns to Uniondale is he gets Hyman back on the line and loses Marner. So Kasperi Kapanen looks like will slide into that spot on the wing with Hyman and with Tavares. Like, it seems as though for all that the Leafs are, and right now that's a wild card team, they've done it without key people for most of the year.
You know what it's done for me, Tim? It's almost, you know, I was on the Babcock thing like a lot of people were for a while after that season ended, specifically how it ended.
Mm-hmm.
All these injuries in my mind has taken me off that. Like, what do you expect him to do? First, they're up against the cap, first thing.
Right.
So add the injuries to it. If you were healthy, you couldn't do much. You had to be dollar for dollar in and out if you wanted to make a move. Mm-hmm. Put the injuries on top of that. You can't just bring dudes in. The only reason Kazimier Kaskisuo was up and Hutchinson's down is they basically make the same money.
Right.
That's the only reason you did that. If it was Keith Kincaid making $1.7 million, no dice. You can't do that. So I almost have taken Mike Babcock off the hook here a little, because I don't know what else he can do other than the goaltending situation and back-to-backs,
mm-hmm.
which we can talk about, and they have 9 more of those this year,
and where
one this weekend.
And where that's coming from.
That's a debate we can have. But in terms of Babcock and the Heat and this and that, what do you want him to do? You can't make a move. You can't bring in a new guy. This is your team. And if dude, Morgan Riley's not 100%. You're losing guys left and right. Morgan Riley's not even practicing, basically. Right. So I'm off the Babcock's in trouble bandwagon. That's not true. I don't know what else he can do here, to be honest with you.
All right, I'm being told that Chris Johnson now available, so we will go down to Uniondale. CJ. Sportsnet, NHL insider and Hockey Night in Canada, Chris Johnson joining us from Nassau County Coliseum. Welcome back to the show, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Is it going to be the same kind of vitriol that we saw last year with Tavares' return to Uniondale?
No chance. You know, it's not even close to what we saw, especially in the Leafs' first game back here. Part of it, look, it's cold out. It's minus five. It's windy. I think it's a little bit less amenable to people, you know, starting things on fire in the parking lot and driving their cars over a sweater and things they were doing last year. But, you know, it's also like a sequel. You're just not as good the second or third time. I think a lot of the hate got released that original night. And there's still a few jerseys and signs around here, but nothing like it was last year.
What was Tavares saying today? What's his mindset at?
I think it's a little easier for him. You know, I got the feeling that, you know, being back here isn't as weird. It's not in his head as much as he dealt with last year. You know, I think he's also, at the same time, a little bit feeling some urgency about the Leafs situation, about the way they lost in Chicago on the weekend and what happened on Saturday, even losing to Philly. I get the feeling around the team that they feel that they have to, you know, get going here and pretty soon. But as for the return itself, it's just not for him even as daunting, just having done it a couple times late last season.
All right, how daunting will his line be now that it doesn't have Mitch Marner, get Zach Hyman back, and we're assuming Kasperi Kapanen goes on the wing?
Yeah, and I think it should be a little better than early in the year when Kasperi Kapanen played on the left side, which is his offside, and it just didn't really work too well with Tavares and Mitch Marner. At least in this circumstance, you get Hyman on the left. Kasperi Kapanen's in his more comfortable position on the right side. And so, well, we'll see what happens. It's just not been a line because of injuries that's ever been together the way it was last season. And they've not been nearly as productive as they were last year, with John Tavares only having 2 points at 5-on-5 so far this year. He had 60 at 5-on-5 last season. So, you know, I don't think that they're expecting this line to carry them, but they would be a nice secondary punch behind the Matthews line if they could get going.
The sense you get, CJ, when you're not with the team a lot, is that Mike Babcock... No, I'm from the outside looking in.
I'm laughing at the guy behind Chris going,
woo! Sorry about that. Sorry about the Ric Flair impersonator behind you there, CJ. But let's talk about the nature boy here, Zach Hyman. Hyman's coming back, and he's styling and profiling. And you get the feeling Mike Babcock has been frustrated with the medical staff for a few weeks here. Like, you just get that impression. How happy is Coach Babcock in getting him back tonight? And have you felt that frustration in the scrums and in the press conferences?
I think a little bit. I mean, look, this season has not gone the way the Leafs expected. And you know, now they're hitting the 20-game mark tonight. That's something internally they've set as a benchmark where they wanted to be, essentially know what their team was, know what their, you know, can hang their hat on, is one thing Mike Babcock says. And they haven't really had the chance to get going in that way because, you know, they had 7 games already without Tavares. You know, now Mitch Marner's gone for at least 4 weeks and probably longer. Hyman hasn't been around. And so, you know, I think that there has been just frustration at not getting any traction going from Mike Babcock. And certainly having Zach Hyman back is something he likes. I think on the penalty kill in particular, you know, this could be a big benefit to the team. But, you know, the coach has also been careful to say, look, this is a serious injury. Zach Hyman's coming off of ACL surgery, you know, last April, and he doesn't know exactly what version of him, what percentage of him he's actually getting back here in the lineup.
I mentioned that the Islanders team missed the playoffs by 17 points in the year that Tavares left. They made the playoffs last year. I know they made it in 2016. Someone tweeted in and suggested that I was fixing things by stating a fact that they missed the playoffs by 17 points.
How dare Tavares, you state a fact, Mikael?
However, how has Barry Trotz been able to pull this off?
Ding. Well, he's a great coach. I mean, yeah. There's no other way to explain this. I mean, the one thing that there would be no debate about, if we went back to July 1st, 2018, the day that John Tavares signed with the Leafs, removing all the emotion that both fan bases felt, you know, I think that very few people would say, yeah, he signed with the lesser of the two teams. I think it was pretty clear at that point. Toronto was viewed as a team on the rise, and the Islanders knew and knew what to make of them. And, yeah, they've made a couple, transactions. They've added a few players. But this lineup is way out kicking what it looks like on paper. And I have to believe that the one, you know, factor in that is that it's Barry Trotz. I mean, even last year, they have such a great season out of Robin Lehner, the goaltender. You know, they let him go, and now Thomas Greiss has all of a sudden got the best save percentage in the league. You know, I think a lot of it is their commitment that the players play with. They spend time in their own zone, but they don't allow much happening from the middle of the ice in the danger areas. And, you know, Barry Trotz deserves credit for, you know, getting this group to buy in because they don't have a superstar. I guess Matt Barzal is probably the closest thing to it. He's getting there. But they play as a complete team effort. And they've won more games since John Tavares came to Toronto than the Leafs have won. And that's something I never would have expected.
Right. And, I mean, and it's not just Barry Trotz. I mean, you go down the road several decades with the Islanders, strong leadership has not been a forte. Like, and I'm not talking the four straight Stanley Cups. I'm talking after that. It was a dry spell for the Islanders. When you have a guy like Trotz behind the bench, CJ, when you have Lou up in the press box looking down saying no facial hair, when you have that type of strong, iron-handed leadership, like, that has to be playing here, right? Because you're right. When you look at that roster, it's fine, but they're out-punching their weight a lot.
They are, and I'll take it even one step further. I mean, look, this organization went through a sale process a couple years ago, and I think finally they have some stability at the ownership level, and that's something they didn't have for years before that. You know, even going back to when John Tavares was drafted first overall by the team. And so, you know, getting that, then getting the management in place, you know, a coaching staff that they have never had the quality of in the decade prior to that, I mean, I think it all contributes to it. And look, the Islanders don't win exciting games generally. I mean, this is a team that's allowed the fewest goals against the last season and this season. And so they're looking to win every night 2-1. And they're doing it more often than not. And so they're able to get by without having an elite offensive scorer outside of Matt Barzal.
And let's face it, they're doing this like playing out of two different homes. Like, that's almost as... Remember we talked to Tavares before he left New York? And we were talking about having to move to Brooklyn and what that was about. And he was talking about what a pain in the ass it was. Now you've got two different homes and you're still pulling it off. I think kudos goes to the entire organization.
Well, and a lot of the games are played here now at Nassau Coliseum. I don't know the exact split, but it's over 20. And I think that that's the real benefit. I mean, this is a small community outside of New York City. It's where their fans are located.
Right.
All the logistical nightmares of going into Brooklyn are removed. And, you know, there's some whispers they'll maybe get all the games here next year. So, you know, I think that also helps until they get their new home built. Yeah,
I think it makes sense. That's where the crowd is. That's where I was thinking if this game was in Brooklyn, I don't even know if they would know that they're supposed to hate Tavares. Right?
Like, true.
I don't know that crowd exists there. Hey, before we let you go, are the Leafs in the market for a backup goalie, or should we just get used to saying Casimir Kaskasuo?
I think you should get used to the Kaskasuo, man.
Nice.
You know, I don't see this as a one-game start for him, and if it doesn't go well, you know, the reality of the salary cap is the Leafs don't have a lot of money to devote to this position. So, you know, I think that they're incentivized here with someone they've signed and groomed the last 4 years to give him a good run to see what he can do at the NHL level. And, yeah, there's always a possibility later in the season they go in the market for a goaltender, but that doesn't seem to be something that they're entertaining at all at this point in time.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet live from Uniondale, site of the Islanders and the Leafs tonight. You can listen to that on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, watch it right here on Sportsnet. CJ, I know it's round three for Tavares in that building, but it's still going to be fun. I'm kind of jealous. Enjoy it tonight. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There is Chris Johnston from Uniondale. Roger Curry writes in and says, by the way, at Isles guy, maybe they aren't out-punching their weight. Maybe they are players that are just starting to show how good they are. Trotz is the difference, but the team is just good. Admit it. With a little bleep homers at the end. Let me say this.
Can you say that on air, what he wrote?
I don't know. Frig. I think so.
I could say frig.
Yeah, no, you can say it. But yeah. It's not what he meant.
There's worse things are being said, right? But I'll say frig.
I did say, did I not say doing it with two homes, full marks?
Yeah.
Like all of the above.
But he wanted to ignore the good things you said to make his point.
Oh.
I see.
Which never happens anymore, but yeah.
Roger, understand, I do think the Islanders are really good.
Yeah.
And I think that they have done a wonderful job being able to maintain over the last two seasons. And I think that both you and I are very impressed with what they're doing. And it's not about, I know that Sid said they're out punching their weight. That's because people didn't expect them to be here. But they're here and now consistent. And the difference between good and great, as I've said many times, is consistency. And they are showing that consistency as of right now. Especially defensively.
Definitely. Tim, can I sidebar for 1 second here about another hockey item before we break? We got 30 seconds. We mentioned the Oilers getting into it with the Sharks last night after Connor McDavid was kind of hit by Thomas Hertl.
Yes.
And Brandon Manning, a defenseman, got in there and he got in a fight, and I was really happy about that.
Yep.
Broke his hand.
Oh.
The Oilers announced he broke his hand.
No.
So there was a price for that. So I regret ever saying that. It was a mistake. Don't defend Connor McDavid going further with your hands. No, I'm kidding.
Well, maybe just leave Connor McDavid alone.
Or don't beat a guy's ass that properly. Like, just give yourself some room for error. But
that's unfortunate. You just use the stick?
He would have saved his hand. Anyway, so I just wanted to pass that forward, but still, good on you for sticking up for a
couple good games. Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. We will check in with the boys doing it next right here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet Radio and Television. This is Tim and Sid, coast to coast on Sportsnet, locally in Toronto, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hockey Central is coming up on the TV side of things. Just a few minutes to get set for a pair of games in Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. So if you're driving home right now, set the PVR, flick it on, put the feet up, and enjoy Leafs Islanders on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Sens Devils on Sportsnet 360. For a preview, our friends on this World Kindness Day, here are Jeff Merrick, Brian Burke, and Elliot Friedman. Hello, friends.
Hello, and I saw Elliot's performance on your program a couple of moments ago. He didn't want to talk about Kindness Day, but I did something for you, Elliot, that I'm sure you're thankful for. It carried him through another edition of 31 Thoughts, the podcast. Tonight, as you guys just mentioned, it is the Islanders facing off against the Maple Leafs. JT returns to Nassau Coliseum.
And, of course, this is not going to be as emotional as the big one last year. At the end of February, February 28th of this year, was 6-1 Islanders win, where the place was bananas. Toronto did come back there later in the year and win a game in New York, but I don't think that fans ever forget. And the other thing, too, is I don't think that great players, and Tavares is a great player, Brian, ever want to stop saying to a former team, this means something.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I also know he'll tune this out. Whatever noise and booing and the rest of it and snakes and all the rest of it, he'll tune that out.
He'll tune it out because he has a new player riding shotgun on the left side today. A familiar face, though, Zach Hyman returns to the lineup.
Welcome sight. Zach Hyman brings size. He brings forechecking ability. He brings puck recovery. He brings hustle. I think it's a welcome sight back. But I'll caution you, a player comes back, especially a bigger one, from a long layoff, often has some rust. Might take him a game or two to get into the swing of things.
Okay, so that's the Leafs and the Islanders. Meanwhile, it's the Ottawa Senators and the New Jersey Devils. This one at the Prudential Center, and I can't figure something out. The Ottawa Senators are tied for last in the NHL, yet Jean-Gabriel Pageau is plus 15. Explain this one.
He's a great player.
He really is.
Mm-hmm. That's impossible.
But there it is. Yep. And
it's not impossible. Year. It's very possible. It's happening.
It's impossible.
We'll see the impossible tonight as Jean-Gabriel Pageau and his Ottawa Senators take on the New Jersey Devils, led by Taylor Hall and PK Subban, guys.
Eric, sometimes impossible to show that kind of co-host kindness, you know? I know exactly what you're saying.
You, bud.
Yeah, yeah, my back hurts, too.
See you guys. See you, we'll boys. Be watching. Again, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. This is going to be good tonight. That is a ridiculous Pageau statistic.
Unbelievable,
is it not?
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen Berkey literally sit there and go, I don't know.
Yeah, but also that the Panthers have the same amount of wins in regulation as the Ottawa Senators. One team's in last, the other one's in, never mind. I'm not going to walk down that road. By the way, we have been mentioning all show long, it is World Kindness Day today. And Biz Nasty, Paul Bissonnette and Austin Matthews show a remarkable amount of kindness to someone that we will show you in mere moments from now in the pregame show for Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. Just want to set the hook for that because it is an amazing story, and it is coming up as a part of World Kindness Day on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey.
Tim McAuliffe was kind to me earlier today. Tim McAuliffe.
I was?
said Sid, because I was having one of those kind of, you know, those lulls in the afternoon. Everyone there, you know, everyone at work at around 2-3 o'clock.
When you took the nap in the newsroom?
I don't take naps. Don't do that. HR is watching and listening.
Feet up.
Tim McAuliffe said to me, I mean, we got a lot going on. There's plenty on the news, whatever.
Yep.
Tim's like, Sid, do you want a coffee?
He did, yeah.
And I said, yes. And then Tim said, can I rub your shoulders?
And I said,
no.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't feel like it. Maybe tomorrow. Because you give a damn good shoulder rub.
You did say yes to the coffee, though.
Yes.
And I paid for it.
Thank you.
All right. Time to say goodbye to those of you watching on TV. Up next, it's Hockey Central ahead of the Leafs and the Islanders, as mentioned, on Sportsnet. Sens Devils on Sportsnet 360. And at 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, the Stars visit the Flames on Sportsnet 1. And you can listen to more of us, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, if you flip over right now. It's radio only, Six-Zero.
Radio.
Feel free to take your clothes off.
Radio.
Actually, leave them on.
Who wants to leave them on? I don't think I believe there's a Rogers bylaw against that.
No, there is.
I'm pretty sure I can't do that.
Without a doubt, a Rogers bylaw.
Even if I wanted to, Jeff Passan of ESPN will be joining us here in a few minutes as the GM meetings continue to be down in Scottsdale, Arizona. Now,
there is some juice.
Is there?
You think it's just the propaganda of a baseball offseason that is being perpetuated by when these people get together in these spots?
Tony Clark is head of the MLB Players Association. The last two offseasons for his association have been a complete disaster. Can you and I agree on that? These offseasons have not gone the way the Players Association anticipated them going.
A lot of money on older free agents that people thought was going to be out there was never out there. So I understand what you're talking about. But what I'm talking about includes trades. Like, I know that there's the market on Josh Donaldson that was never there when Josh Donaldson was coming off an injury.
It still might be. It might not be there for all we know.
We're hearing rumors that the Rangers are aggressively pursuing and that there are a bunch of other teams that want to be in on Donaldson if, in fact, he is not returning to the Atlanta Braves. But there's also, like, I mean, Zach Wheeler, Jake Odorizzi, all these names. Never mind the Gerrit Cole. Like, don't you feel like all the other names are being bandied about a little more than we had in the last few years? And if you're a Jays fan, Ben Nicholson-Smith, Shai Davidi reporting that the Jays have had discussions surrounding their young catchers, Danny Jansen and Reese McGuire. Now, obviously, given their age and their prospect capital, they're putting a high value on those two and trying to get a starting pitcher in return. But that's some interesting juice, is it not?
Sorry, let me separate the two thoughts.
Lourdes Gurriel putting into trade rumors, whatever you take those to be.
Because I don't want to discount the hot stove. I love me some hot stove. You love the hot stove.
Correct.
Keeps us going here because we love baseball. But I have to say one thing. Because Alex Anthopoulos of the Braves basically said nothing last week in a conference call. Okay?
Yeah.
And Tony Clark and the Players Association screamed collusion, sent out a press release, and said, we will investigate. Do you think it's a coincidence at the GM meetings a week later, Brian Cashman of the Yankees is basically talking to the media of all the guys he's interested in?
Mm-hmm.
All these GMs are now openly talking. Ross Atkins of the Jays. All these GMs are talking about, we'd love to sign this person. We're talking to this person. Mm-hmm. We do have. Do you think that's a coincidence? Or do you think it's something to get Tony Clark a bit off people's backs because maybe he overreacted and MLB needs to realize one thing, it can't look like a closed society from a GM standpoint and that there isn't collusion going on, whether there is or there is not collusion going on. The appearance of such is dangerous, so why don't you talk about all these free agents that you're interested in and get the PA momentarily, whether it's true or not, off your back.
I think you and I are discussing two different things because I think that you have a point. Your idea is valid, but I'm talking about the Blue Jays, and I think they're going to be... Listen, when I hear two Japanese names out there and the Jays being tied to the Japanese names, I've walked down that road before. When you have a blind posting process, I call BS on the, we're really interested. Oh, it's too bad.
You Darvish?
Yeah. The Rangers bid more on that guy. Or...
whoever it was, when you have the blind posting process, you just say you're in on those guys, and then you don't win the bid and go, ah, we just weren't willing to pay that, right? And I know that goes on in Major League Baseball, but I think the Jays are in a spot where they have to make some moves to surround their young talent. And I think they're going to try to exhaust. If we are to believe what we heard from Shaq, from the people that they call Shapiro and Atkins, and you know what I was going to say, but
don't say that.
But if we're to believe what they're saying about those, what those two are saying about this offseason, it's that they're going to be involved. And so when I hear Danny Jansen and Reese McGuire, that makes a little bit of sense. I don't know if the Lourdes Gurriel Jr. makes sense. From what I saw last year, I think they need help in the outfield. I don't know if I'm breaking any atoms here, but they probably need some help in the outfield as opposed to giving away help in the outfield. No,
they do. But the Gurriel thing I don't hate. If you can bring back an arm that's real, I don't hate dealing Lourdes Gurriel Jr. I don't at all. The catchers, I don't understand at all. Like I don't know what catcher you're thinking about bringing in where you're looking at moving your young catchers like this.
Right.
I don't, like, unless they've got something in their back pocket that we don't know about. But you're right. Listen, Tim, in terms of speed, I mean, and I've thought this the last couple of off seasons. I understand the market is slow. Smart teams can get some business done early here. Could have got it done last offseason and the offseason before that.
Well, they also got burnt by making quick work of Kendrys Morales.
Don't remind me about Kendrys.
That was quick work.
That was like, you just took the contract off the table to Edwin,
mm-hmm.
and you went to go sign a guy who can't run. Don't remind me about Kendrys Morales.
Do I need to correct splitting of atoms as opposed to breaking of atoms?
I think real scientists break the atoms.
Right,
don't sell yourself short.
All right,
McAuliffe.
Splitting atoms.
Splitting atoms is for novices.
Just came out. I was going to say breaking news.
Real visionaries break the atoms.
Breaking atoms.
All right.
I don't want to sound like a moron.
There's no rockets to the science.
I don't need any help sounding like a moron. So
there's no rockets.
I'll just say splitting the atoms.
Let me ask you something.
Ask
away. Are you against trading Lourdes Gurriel Jr.? Just on the premise of it, I know it obviously means something in terms of what's coming back. That would decide a lot of people's thought process.
Listen, I watched Wayne Gretzky get traded, right? I watched Herschel Walker get traded and make a team, right? I watched Eric Lindros get traded and make a team. Like, if the trade makes sense, you always make the trade. I just look at this outfield and think, you're going to get rid, and listen, I don't know that he is your everyday outfielder. I do know that in 60 games, he didn't make an error and threw out 9 base runners from left field. Now, he went down with an injury,
yeah.
and he has struggled to stay healthy. He also hit 20 home runs and had a .277 average in 84 games.
But despite all the defensive plays he did make last year, the one thing that confuses me about Gurriel is, why were his defensive metrics still pretty low?
Because he's not a great outfielder because he's still learning the position.
Right. So you can afford to deal him.
Well, but who else are you going to play there? Like, wins above replacement are wonderful. It depends on what the replacement is. And I know we're all talking about average-level replacement. I don't know that the Jays have average-level replacements.
I would agree with you there.
Who are they replacing him with?
But we're talking about left field. Like, on the list of important positions where the Toronto Blue Jays have to figure something out.
Have you not seen flashes from Lourdes Gurriel Jr. that have shown you that this guy could be a big-time hitter?
Yes. But I also saw a guy who, if he could figure it out at second, could have turned this entire narrative around and made him untradeable. But he didn't. He's a good-looking offensive player. Not an all-star.
But don't
he's not that guy yet.
But isn't that where you hide people?
At second base?
No,
left field. Sorry, I mean, of course, left field. Yes, you're right. That's where you hide people.
So if he can develop into a really good hitter and you hide him in left field, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
And
what I'm saying is if there's an arm on the table.
Derek Fisher? What else are you talking about in the outfield?
I'm not talking about Derek Fisher.
Well, but this is the reality. Outfield is not exactly the strength of this team.
But you don't know an outfielder wouldn't be coming back that's serviceable. Like, there's a lot of variables in a deal. We're talking a deal here that would maybe involve a Lourdes Gurriel Jr. that I find intriguing. Maybe you can find something to cover you off. An older vet, who knows? But the arm would be the centerpiece of that deal for me, and I'd move Lourdes Gurriel Jr. for an arm because, breaking news, you need arms. You need arms. You can figure out a left fielder who can't play defense and hit a little
bit. I'll say this. And listen, I get it. Chase Anderson, Trent Thornton, Jacob Wagaspak, TJ Zoik, Anthony K. Like, this isn't exactly murderer's row that we're rhyming off.
You're hoping somebody
in the rotation.
Up.
Matt Shoemaker, maybe. They got to settle that one as well. You're hoping some. I'm with you. You need to make room. You need to get someone in here, and you need to get them in the rotation. Whether that comes in free agency or a trade, all I'm saying is that you have a pretty good player, at least you've seen flashes from a pretty good player. You better get someone young in return who is going to stick around for a while, because they're not going to be good next year. They might be okay, but I don't know if they'll be great next year. I don't know if they'll be great the next year after that. And Lourdes Gurriel is still a young guy.
Still a young guy, but he's not in that infield. And you thought he was going to be in that infield. And I think there's an opportunity here if you're the Toronto Blue Jays, the way it shook out last year, where it looks like your middle infield's figured out. You're comfortable with that. They're young. There's going to be some more growing pains. I get it. But now you have a piece here that you didn't think you could move and might be tasty for other teams. I like that opportunity. I welcome that opportunity if you're Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro. I'm tantalized by what that could bring you. And if it doesn't bring you anything, it doesn't bring you anything. You keep Lourdes Gurriel Jr., play him in left field. Hopefully he gets better in left field. I think it's a win-win.
I think we're dancing around similar ideas. And I want to argue on it because he's only 25, going to be his 26-year season next year. And he has shown me flashes of being really, really good. And I like that. But yes, if the haul back is impressive, then I'm okay with it. Like, I want to argue you. But if the haul back is impressive, then I'll take it.
That's what bothers me about every baseball trade winter discussion. If the haul is good, though, like we can go around the horn on every player.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that's relevant. I shouldn't say that. The most relevant thing is, what the hell are you getting back?
Gretzky was traded, right?
Gretzky was traded, absolutely. Yeah,
that happened.
Let me just say
Lourdes
Gurriel Jr. can be traded, yes.
This Lourdes Gurriel Jr. rumor, and I like Scott Mitchell. He just said, heard an interesting one. Jays could be open to moving Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Listen, anyone could be open to anything depending on what the return is, right?
Absolutely.
Like,
I'm not
trying to rip. I know that where it came from. I'm giving credit to Scott Mitchell because that's where it came from. But when you use the word could be open to, then that means a lot of different things.
There's a lot of could be's in the MLB hot stove right now. There's a lot.
We were supposed to have Jeff Passan on the line. It looks like he won't be able to join us for a couple more minutes on the show. Do you want to have the conversation about the Houston Astros and what appears to be mounting evidence that they have been using video to steal signals in very important spots, including a run to a World Series championship? We began the conversation yesterday, and it came from The Athletic, and now Major League Baseball is investigating the idea that they had been using video to steal signs. Do you think this is a big deal for Major League Baseball?
I would normally say no, but I'm going back to everything we've seen PR-wise from the Houston Astros in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
And I think that plays here. Should it? Should it not? I'm open to that discussion. But this isn't like if the Padres did it. There's something about what Houston has put out there into the baseball ether and what people have consumed, whether you're a baseball fan or not, that I think Major League Baseball is just quite frankly pissed off at.
Right.
And might, in turn, take this opportunity to come down on them, however you want to define that. Now, in the past, they haven't come down on anybody for using electronic devices in any strong way. So I don't know what the bar is here for the Houston Astros, who had four people confirm to Ken Rosenthal and Drellich of The Athletic that they were using cameras in 2017 to steal signs at home.
Including Mike Fiers.
See, that one's interesting to me.
Like, someone told on them.
A guy went on the record who's still in the league with the Oakland Athletics.
Right.
That they were cheating using a camera in center field. If I'm another organization, I'm scared to bring Mike Fiers into my organization. Well, you're going to tell state secrets? Really?
Well, but maybe maybe the state secrets are so important that he needed to tell people. This is the part of this equation that I don't think when we first had this conversation and you're like, ah, everyone steals signs, that you didn't take into the equation. The reason Mike Fiers spilled the beans on this is because he believes it's an advantage. And he believes it's a distinct advantage. And when the Apple Watch showed up in the Boston Red Sox dugout, I was irate. But you realized that the transfer of that information is almost as tough as stealing signals on the field. And when you're on the field and you're attempting to steal signs on the field, which has been an art form in Major League Baseball since the very inception of the game, you understand that the relaying of that information is just as hard as the laying down of the signs. When you're using cameras and you're using some sort of communication electronically, that makes it a hell of a lot easier. You know that, right?
No, I do. But let me ask you this. If there was a guy in the 80s at Old Comiskey Park in Chicago who had a green light and a red light somewhere in the outfield and a pair of binoculars that only the home batters knew about, would you be okay with that or not?
Right, but the...
But it's the same thing.
No, it's not the same
thing. Yes, it is the same thing.
No, and the green light and the red light I wouldn't be okay with because that's not the players on the field figuring out what's going on. That's someone else jumping in on it. But even then, it's different because you got to pick up the green light and the... They're yelling and screaming. If we are to believe what we have heard,
right,
this is sophisticated, it's high level, and Major League Baseball needs to stop it.
But what if I told you the Astros were a better hitting team on the road in 2017 than at home?
But does
that matter to you? Because that's what they were. They were a better hitting team on the road than at home while they were alleged to have been cheating.
What would stop them from doing it on the road?
It's not their stadium. It's not their equipment. It's not their home turf. They can't do that. They can't have a camera out at Chavez Ravine in Game 7 of the World Series.
No, but they could use TV cameras.
But they wouldn't be able to manipulate those the way they would at home.
It's almost the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
They controlled everything about it at home. Two guys knew about it, but you're saying on the road they could do it as well?
Yeah, if you have a sophisticated enough system, you could do it.
Interesting. Jeff Passan of ESPN joining us from the GM meetings in Scottsdale. Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm not saying this happened. I don't think this happened. But if you have someone sitting in center field with a camera that is positioned inside of their jacket, or if it's tiny and they're holding it in their hand and it's zoomed in, and someone's watching it on a live feed somewhere and gets buzzed with an Apple Watch, you can absolutely do it on the road. It's just easier at home.
You can.
Like can cheat. You can cheat anywhere. You can.
Really?
Cheat
So wait a second. Yeah. Hold on. So you're telling me in the World Series in L.A., you think the Houston Astros could have swung that?
No. I don't think that they did, but I'm saying you could.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying you could.
Well, I think the Astros are an upstanding organization.
You wanted to eliminate the idea of cheating because they hit well on the road, and I'm telling you that doesn't eliminate the aspect of that's all I'm saying.
And all I'm saying is the accusation made in this report is a home accusation.
Of course,
that's all I'm saying.
Beyond that, guys. By the way, have you seen? And listen, I'm not going to call the John Boy video of Evan Gattis completely, entirely damning. I'm just going to say it doesn't look good.
It's entertaining.
And if you look at that, I believe there are three at least swings that Evan Gattis takes on pitches that he theoretically knew was coming and did absolutely nothing with them. It doesn't mean you're going to be better.
Right.
It just gives you the slightest possible advantage. And if you know anything about baseball right now in 2019, 2018, 2017, ever since the sabermetric era started, it's that you're just looking for that tiny marginal advantage.
So in your mind, do you think that Major League Baseball came to the Boston Red Sox with the Apple Watch and kind of gave them a slap on the wrist? Do you think Major League Baseball will treat this one differently because now they're seeing how much that slight advantage could mean?
I don't know that they're going to go just at the Astros with this. I think that they understand that the integrity of the game is truly in play at this point. When you're talking about the World Series champions, it's one thing I'm not even going to name a major league team because I don't want that to come back. If it's the Wahoo Nebraska Thrillers and they are going out there and doing it, but they're a 62-100 team, then, yeah, I mean, you should treat it the same way as you do the World Series champions, but you're probably not going to because it's not as big a deal. This is a big deal. And it's a big deal because there are questions, too, just how many other organizations were doing it.
Right.
And when you have a championship that may or may not have been decided by this particular thing, but this particular thing certainly is alleged to have been involved in the winning of that championship, you have the deepest and darkest kind of integrity issue in your game.
So
if your game is not, if your game is not fair, then what the hell is your game?
So we're going to punish the Astros because they did it better than the other teams that are doing it. That's what we're going to do. We're going to punish Houston Astros because they're more organized.
Who did it?
Did they do it better? I mean, we know about it. How well did they do it?
And who else did it?
Well, if it wasn't for the leak, Mike Fiers, we wouldn't have known anything.
Yeah, but listen, it got out there, right?
Correct. That is correct. It got out there.
So how well did they do it then? You're making the same argument, and I think honestly, I think it's kind of a reasonable argument because it's one that I made with steroid users. Keep steroid users out of the Hall of Fame because their drug dealers were narcs.
But like, in steroids, but hold on, but steroids. Listen, man, we live in Canada. In '88, Ben Johnson. He got his body to the point where he was Drago in Rocky IV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you, if it's just you, you can get your body to the point where it's a machine, and it's you can literally have no one else around you be able to do anything about it. Like you just said.
But everyone else in the race did it.
In this situation, like Jeff just said, though.
Everyone else in Seoul did it.
Even if Evan Gaddis knows the fastball's coming,
for you,
the truth alarm is on. Even if Evan Gaddis knows the heater's coming, he still at times, aside from that one hot month he had a couple years ago, can be Evan Gaddis and not catch up to the fastball. It's just not the be-all and end-all. Like, I agree with that point. That's why I think this one's a little different.
Yeah, it's not the be-all, end-all, but again, it comes back. You know what comes back? It comes back to both sides have it. If both sides don't have it, then is the game fair?
Right.
And if the game isn't fair, then why am I watching it?
Right. I'm with you on that.
That's valid.
Jeff Passan, yep. MLB insider, ESPN, author, Wu-Tang fan, Elmo impersonator, joining us here on Tim and Sid. We were just talking Jays and some of the rumors out there. You're as plugged in as anyone on the entire league. How often are you hearing the Jays' name come up in some of these rumors?
I hear the Jays a lot. I hear the Jays on offense. I hear the Jays on pitching. I hear the Jays on guys who are going to be in the $10 to $20 million range. I hear the Jays on guys who are going to be in the $60 to $80 million range.
So I didn't mean to stop you there. I was intrigued by that. Keep going.
It was really good timing. I felt like I needed to take a breath and you filled the air there. It was wonderful.
It's our save by the bell.
Look, this does not mean that the Jays are necessarily planning on being competitive in 2020. Don't think that's the plan. Don't know for sure, but I don't get the sense from speaking with people that they believe that they are going to be contending for a playoff spot this upcoming season. I think you look at how good the Yankees are. I think you look at how good the Rays are. I think you look at how good the Boston Red Sox could be. And it's just a repeat of last year. They're also not going to stink this year, though. And they understand that, you know, you can't put all your eggs in one off-season basket. Like, you have to build bit by bit, because if you strike out on all the guys you're looking for this year, that puts even more pressure next year when Vladdy Guerrero's 2 years into his career and Bo Bichette's 2 years into his career to go out and actually start winning. And at that point, players know the Jays need to spend right now, and we're going to try and hold them up for a bank heist.
Jeff Passan from Scottsdale, Arizona, at the GM meetings going on right now. He's running around. He is busy. He still jumped on. I will take some of Jeff Passan aside from none at all. So thank you, Jeff, for doing this. And Wu-Tang is for the children.
Love you, boys. Take care.
There is Jeff Passan. We love you, too. I should have added that, right?
He's so good, man.
Cy Young's announced today, Justin Verlander, Jacob deGrom. Good?
Jacob deGrom became the 11th pitcher to win back-to-back Cy Young Awards in Major League history.
Back-to-back Cy Youngs. 7-3 Raptors taking on the Portland Trailblazers tonight. Serge Ibaka out, ankle indefinitely. Kyle Lowry out, fractured thumb. OG Anunoby out, eye. Patrick McCaw out, knee. Yusuf Nurkic out, leg. Pau Gasol out, foot. Zach Collins, shoulder, expected to be out as well. Rodney Hood, uncertain.
O'Shea Brissett was called up.
Yeah, Canadian O.J. Brissett called up from Raptors 905. He will be on the bench for the Raptors today.
You and I are going to come back here tomorrow talking about a Raptors win tonight.
Ooh.
This is going down, McAuliffe.
By the way.
This is going down tonight.
The Blazers are going down, too. They lost 6-7.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We're going down.
I'm going to rip on Hassan Whiteside. I'll do that tomorrow when they lose.
Okay. We're done. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody.
See
Appreciate
ya.
It.